with the Moed, Yeshekoyach. I'll start with a little Maisa, Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky. The Maisa with Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky. I think that the Olam HaYeshivas is known to call him Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky, and I one time referred to him as such in the presence of an elderly English Choshev Balabas, who had actually known him in England. Even a Macho, he said that it's a Chisus Kavod to call him Rabbi Yechezkel. So since then, I've been calling him Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky. Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky was one of those figures in communist Russia who just went straight, boldly, brazenly, keeping everything up without changing anything, and obviously got in trouble with the communists. There was even a Meister where they one time, a whole group of the Avseksnikim, the Jewish communists, they stormed into his house and they wanted to cut off his beard. That's what they did to many of the Rabbanim. So as they were about to grab him and they pulled out their scissors, so he just got up and he banged on the table and said to them with full force, he said, "There is no such thing as a Rav without a beard." Just the force and the confidence just scared them off. So he was arrested by the communists and he was taken in for an interrogation. The way they operated, there was a lot of intimidation in the interrogations. The Russian interrogator, they knew the job. It was a gorilla of a man, and he had the prisoner was sitting on a chair. I don't know if he was tied or not tied, and this interrogator is standing over him and roaring in his face. Part of the job was to frighten the person stiff. That was part of the idea, and they knew the business. But as he's interrogating Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky and roaring in his face, Rabbi Yechezkel was looking at him with a certain nonchalant indifference. And the interrogator was a little thrown by that. He wasn't used to that. So he said to him, "Did you not hear me?" So he said, "No, I didn't really hear you." "Hard of hearing?" He said, no, you yelled plenty loud, but there's a much louder voice in the room and it made it difficult to hear you." "There's a louder voice in the room?" He said, "Yeah, as loud as you are yelling, there's a louder voice that I hear thundering in my ears saying, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha." This, Kimdume, is a Pesach to what I would like to give over, Birshus, what I was in the Kabbal from my Rebbe, Rabbi Victor Miller, as a Taich, the understanding of the mitzvah of Emunah. The understanding of the mitzvah of Emunah. This obvious question that everybody asks, and you have the answers already from the Rishonim, on how could there be a mitzvah of Emunah? How could you command someone to believe something? Kind of like sounds like, I remember when I was a little kid, you have my little brother beating up my little sister and she would say, "I hate you." So you would give her another punch and say, "Now do you love me?" "No, I hate you even more." "Another punch. Now do you love me?" "Yeah, now I love you." How can you command a person to believe something? So there are various tirutzim given, and I want to share just a masorah that from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, what I was mekabel in the taich of the mitzvah of Emunah. He said Emunah actually does not mean belief. It comes after belief. It comes after knowledge. After knowledge, the mitzvah of Emunah starts. And he said, Emunah actually is a koyach. It's a koyach to take the things you know and have them as realities in your life. And this is not something pashut. And I think that this is illustrated in that maisa that we just told with Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky. And he gave a few proofs to this perush of the word Emunah. That the word Emunah actually means for something to be entrenched, for something to be steadfast, strong in its place, rather than belief per se. Just a couple of examples. The word uman, what is the word uman versus a poyel? An uman versus a poyel, an uman is a skilled craftsman. A tailor would be an uman versus a porter is a poyel, a person who schleps things. Someone whose profession requires training is an uman. Why is he called an uman? Because he has emunah in his profession. What does that mean? What it means is that his profession is entrenched. The first time the tailor tried to sew something, it came out sloppy. But then he did it again. Then he did it again. And then he did it again. Each time, it became more and more integrated into his nature until it became something that we call second nature. Now he's an uman. This melacha is me'uman by him. That's why we also call training in modern Hebrew. Training is called le'amein, to develop an emunah. The profession, the skill, becomes entrenched until it becomes a certain second nature. This is also why to raise a person, to be mechanich, is also called oimein. By he oimein es hadasa. He raised her. What does that mean? To be mechanech actually means to settle into the person the things they're going to live with naturally. That's what chinuch is. Yodav emuna, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Bnei Yisrael were fighting Amalek, so it says, he had his hands up. Yodav emuna. What does it mean, emuna? His hands didn't believe anything. It means that they were steadfast. They weren't moving anywhere. They were solidly entrenched in their spot. They weren't going down. So this, Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, is the, and I'm not sure if this is actually a Kabbalah from Slabodka. He said that when he was once asked where his chidushin come from, he said, well, the good things come from Reb Simcha Zisel, Alto von Kelm. The bad things are my own. So perhaps this is a Kabbalah that goes further back. But that emunah actually means having the things that we know entrenched in our reality, entrenched in our real life. And let's bring out a mashal to bring out the point. If you think of two people come to the doctor, and they're both told, okay, you're really going to have to change your eating habits, otherwise you don't have much longer to live. Okay? And they both leave, and they're both very, very high on sugar and cholesterol. That's basically their staples. And all the other good zachen, what do they call it? The bad kind of fat, whatever you call it, the trans fat. So they're both very heavy on that. They both go out and they're both very, very clearly told that if you're not going to make a change, then half a year to a year, you're going to be on your way. Okay. Now, one of them takes it very seriously, meets with a dietitian, makes all the changes, gets himself a personal trainer, and really makes those changes in his life. It's not easy. Every time he walks by the fast food joint, he looks at it, but he wants to live. Still can have years ahead of him. And the other guy also goes out of there. Well, I shouldn't say also. Goes out of there. Okay, I really should be making the changes, but on the way home, I'm going to stop in for a good gesunte fries and ich weiß was, what else. Okay? And yes, this first one is be'emuna. Going and sticking with that new diet and sticking with the training and making the changes and keeping them up. And the other guy is, I know I really should be doing this. But the food is beckoning. Okay. So now both of them completely believe what the doctor told them. And if we translate emuna as belief, both of them completely believe what the doctor told them. Yet, the first one is what we're going to call a person with strong emunah, and the other one is what we're going to call a person miktanei emunah. He also has the same emunah, he believes it. None of them have any doubt that what the doctor said is true. Where's the difference? The difference is, I know it, but from here till where I actually, till lemaisa, when it comes down to the knife and fork, there's just too much of a gap. I know it, v'dayi b'kach. It's not going to make its way into my real life. And the other person, no, the knowledge that he knows goes straight through his whole system into his day-to-day. This is what the Chazon Ish says in Emunah Bitachon, that he gives it that gather. He says, Emunah is a midah like all the other midahs. It's a midah like all the other midahs. Just like with all the other midahs, what does midah mean? The word midah means a measure. Right? There isn't really such a good thing as a good midah and a bad midah. Midah means something that has to be used in a certain measure. A good midah means something that most of the time you should be using. A bad midah is something you should only use very rarely. If you use them both regularly, this will be a good midah and that will be a bad midah. So he said, but lemaisa, person, do you have a midah of kas? It's not a yes or no question. Sometimes more, sometimes less. So the Chazon Ish said, emunah is also a midah. You can have a person with more, a person with less, because this is the nekuda of emunah. The nekuda of emunah is the things that I know, how do they really play out in my... Do I have the ability of living with them as a reality in the trenches? When it comes to food, when it comes to the way I talk, when it comes to everything else that dictates my life, or is it, I know, but... So to try to bring this out from another angle, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said about Reb Naftali Amsterdam, he said that the greatness of Reb Naftali Amsterdam is that he's with the Rabbeinu Shalom even when he's talking to somebody. What did he mean by that? So I would like to venture a guess. I just heard this as a memory that that's what he said. I'm going to venture a guess, which is, seems to me to be something that Betzim L'Chovitz Halvavitz describes also. And I'll say it also, B'derech Mashal. We'll say it, B'derech Mashal. If you've recently been at a Shabbos Suda where there's an engaged couple, okay, the chassan came for Shabbos, whether it's your sibling, your child, or whatever it is, okay, have a kala in the house, And the chassan came for Shabbos. And you look at the kala at the Shabbos table, and she's sitting there, prim and proper. One of her younger brothers starts getting on her nerves, and she just turns to him and says all sweetly, "Is something bothering you?" And everybody else at the table is looking at her like, "What happened to her?" Right? Now, what's the answer? The answer is that she's not really talking to her younger brother. She's talking to the chassan over there, right? Everything that she's doing at the table now is interaction with the chassan. When she gets up to serve, when she makes sure that her father has everything he needs, when she's talking all beautifully to her younger brothers, she's talking to the chassan. That's who she's talking to. Everything that she's doing, every move that she makes, is to the chassan. And yeah, when they go shopping for something together, and he's busy talking to the salesman, who's he talking to? He's talking to the kala. He's busy focused on how he wants her to hear him talking to the salesman. I'm venturing to guess that this is what Yisrael Salanter meant. I have to confess, I'm sitting here in front of the Bais Medrash and in front of Moshe Rabbi, and I have to confess, a lot of my mind is on how am I coming across. I'm trying to also insert some of the Kavanah of the Shem Shemayah between Mechazik Yidin and Emunah. But the Chodesh HaVavah says, and this is how I understand the point that Yisrael Salanter was making, that person with the real Emunah is... he's standing in front of a whole crowd. He's standing and talking to a person. Where is his mind? His mind is, what impression am I making on Hashem? I'm busy talking to Hashem's child right now. How is Hashem taking it? This is the godless that Yisrael Salanter was talking about. Again, I'm suggesting. This is the godless that Yisrael Salanter was talking about when he said, Rav Naftali Amsterdam is talking to a person, but he's with the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the Amunah that we're talking about. So we're coming back to this Nakuda. What is the meaning of the word Amunah? Yeah, I'm not going to say lafuke from the word belief. L'chayra, we can't go ad kedei kach. But the meaning of the word Amunah in practice is the ability to take the things that we know and to actually live them. To be ma'amin them in our reality. I'd add a diuk that afterwards I found, this is not, I didn't hear this from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, but that the Lashon of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about the Mitzvah of Yirat Shamayim, he says that the Mitzvah of Yirat Shamayim, he says the person has to leha'amin yir'asoi. You have to be ma'amin the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? You believe in Hashem's fear? L'chayr, it's the same, mamish, the same nekud. Leha'amin means to entrench it, to really get it settled in who I am. Leha'amin yir'asoi. How do we do this? There was a story that was told about, it was one of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbes. I'm not sure if it was the Tzemach Tzedek or the Rashab, that he was a sickly person. And they one time took him to a doctor in Vienna, and he looked like older, like beyond his years. And the doctor said to him, "What do you do? What is your profession?" So he said, I'm an architect of bridges." It didn't fit the profile. And he said, What? So he said, "Yeah, I spent my whole entire life trying to get the things that I know to my heart. There's a big gap there. My heart as in my reality. How I live my life. So there's a big gap and I'm constantly trying to build bridges and then they blow up and then they collapse and I try to build them again." Apparently this doctor was a chacham because when he heard that he said, "Wow." He said, "If so, I understand why you look the way you look. Not poshut." So lamaisa, how do we do that? So vaita, kifima shekibalti. So you have to come at it from two directions. So first of all, really both are the straightforward answer. It's hard to directly access this inyan of, yes, I know something, but now it's going to be my reality. Now it's mamish going to dictate. This is really what we call getting it from the mind to the lave. The lave, Avigdor Miller would translate lave as mind, but like as the full system of I guess we'll call it the psyche, where the mind and the emotions and everything come together. Meaning I'll give an example of where knowledge meets the lave. If you have a kid, his mother tells him, keep away from the stovetop. It's very, very hot. So right there, coming back to our discussion, he has full belief in what his mother said. He knows that the stovetop is very hot. He knows that the stovetop, there's a blech over the stovetop. Theoretically, you could walk over it. But his mother gave him a very strong warning. Even once got a slap when he got too close. And he believes that it's hot, and he keeps away. But, vayihi ayoim, and the ball flipped over the blech. And now it's on the other side of the blech. Okay? So he believes that it's hot, but he really needs the ball. He remembers the patch, but the thought of not having the ball now for the next hour overcomes that too. So he actually decides, okay, one time I'm going to do it. Ooh, in that second, he was Mekayim Vashir Voisel of Avecho. The Amunah went from his mind to his heart. to his reality, to how he really lives. He is never going to get close to that blech again. Because now, it went from, it was really mischaber to who he is. And this is what we're talking about. We want to take these yediyas, the yediyah of Hashem, laham and yirasa, yiras Hashem, aras Hashem, to take them from that knowledge and to mamish make it like the blech, like the hot blech. It's hard to decide to do that. It's hard to decide to do that. How do you actually do that? How do you get it from it? We can decide, okay, I want to learn Emuna. I want to know about Hashem. But how do you get it to the level that, no, this is my reality? So again, let's approach it from two angles. One answer is, Chayra, the constant Limud HaMusa. Now I'm putting the stress on the constant rather than on the Limud HaMusa. Limud HaMusa, I would imagine, is not a chiddush to all of us, the chashivus of Limud HaMusa, but here I'm putting the stress on the constant because the maila of the Limud HaMusa is not so much in the content that you're learning. That's definitely one aspect of it. But the change that it's going to make on your life, you learn something in the Siyas Yisharim, and it goes back to everything else that we know. Okay, I learn it, it's very inspiring. I come away from there feeling like, okay, this really has to make a difference in my life. But then a few days later, Vaita, it's knowledge from the past. I know it. Person learns the Siyas Yisharim, he knows it all, he can do a test on it. But how will the Mesiyas Yisharim actually get to dictate my life in that kind of way? And that's where the constant comes in. Because when it's day after day after day, it's the hashpa. It's not so much the content of the Sefer per se. Obviously, if we'd be reading something without the content. But the Mesiyas Yisharim stresses this in the beginning, that the Toelis of the Sefer is the Hasmada Shebay. Is the Hasmada Shebay. Learning it day after day creates an accumulation of sensitivity, of the knowledge that of the Musa, whatever it is, whether it's the Yiras HaOinesh, whether it's the Yiras HaRoimim, whether it's the Akara HaSatav, it doesn't really make a difference. But you're constantly getting these injections of awareness. And even if you're moving from the Sefer, you're moving from one Inyan to the other. Before it was the Hirus, and now you're learning Chasidus, and then you're learning Tara. But you're constantly getting these injections of that awareness. That is going to, the continuity of it, after 3 months, you'll be able to see the difference in your life. And if you then go ahead and take a break for 2 weeks, you'll also be able to see the difference at that point. But learning Musa with regular breaks won't have that effect. You'll have the chashivus of the content, which is very, very, very important. But the exercise of actually getting it to a level of this is what I live, that comes from the ongoing continuity, from the constantness of it, day after day. That's one Kivun. The other kivun is that's from the, and that is what we might call from the inside out. You're going to the pnimius and letting it affect you. And then there's the other fundamental mahalach, which is from the outside in. From the outside in. And here's where the chashivus of maisim come in. I don't know about you, but I've flown quite a number of times as a bachur. I mean, there's a very big difference between a flight with the whole family, kenai nahara, and the flight as a bachur. Flight as a bachur lends itself to long philosophical discussions that don't get you anywhere with your seatmate. And the discussion of religion comes up, and it often goes in the same direction as the famous philosophy of Israeli taxi drivers, which is, the main thing is that your heart be in the right place. That's all that matters. Somehow it always circles back to that. And you know what? The truth is that we actually agree with that. We agree that the main thing is that your heart be in the right place. Rahman al-Liba boy. See, the whole thread of the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos is that it's all about the heart. Just what the question is. Okay, how hard is your heart beating? That's the whole question. Is your heart in the right place or not? Can your heart get you off the couch, or is it too schwach to get you off the couch when you're actually ready to jump? Whether it's because of some taiva, whether it's because you were provoked or something, is your heart strong enough to hold you back? It is all about the heart. But the ma'isim are the test of where the heart is. But we're going a step further now. It's not just that the ma'isim are the test of where the heart is. The ma'isim are actually what get the heart to the right place. Because as we've been discussing, when a person says, my heart is in the right place, what that means is that somewhere back there, I have that knowledge that, yes, Hashem. But when we're talking about the heart in terms of what's dictating my day-to-day life, that might be somewhere completely different. I love Hashem. I sat at a kumzitz for 2.5 hours 3 weeks ago, and I connected, right? And then the next morning I woke up at 10:30. So, there's the heart, and then there's the heart that is on top of the hands and legs. That's really the heart that we're talking about. We're not talking about the heart that gets all inspired at the time. How do we get that to the heart that's dictating what I'm going to do at breakfast time, what I'm going to do at lunch time, what I'm going to do at supper time? And this is where maisim come in. We, whether we like it or not, we are bas avadam. And whether we like it or not, our Basar V'Dam are very, very important Manda Omrim in the decisions that we make throughout the day. Not just our Basar V'Dam, our egos, etc. And if we want to say that the heart is the main thing, we have to have the heart right at the forefront, dictating our hands and legs, dictating our Basar V'Dam, dictating our egos. And in order to do this, we have to have our hands and legs on board. And this, we have to access from the outside. We have to actually be pummeling our hands and legs into place through the medium of Maisim. This Rabbi Rucham talks about how Dafka on the Leil HaEmunah, right? Leil HaSeder, everything surrounding Pesach. Pesach is about Emunah. It should be a time of just contemplation. We're so busy with Maisim. So many Maisim. So before Pesach, on Pesach, the Leil HaSeder is the Mamad of Emunah. Why bog it down with all the different Maisim? The answer is this point exactly. That it's the Maisim. We're Basar V'Dam. If we want our Basar V'Dam to be on board, we have to bang our Basar V'Dam into place with Maisim. Maisim that are in line. If I want Ratzon Hashem to really dictate, if I want Hashem to really be dictating my life, then I have to be very intensely involved with Maisim that get me in the direction of Ratzon Hashem. That way I'm accessing my heart from the outside in. From the outside in. I'm beating my Basar V'Dam, my flesh and blood, into the place where my heart is. And that's why we say, right, Yochel Merosh Chodesh, Talmud Leim Abayim, Ahul Ermati Ele B'Shosh, Yishmatzo Mor Monochim Lefonecho. Hashem Yishmuel says, why is it so important? We should only be telling the Haggadah that the main mitzvah, secret of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is when we have the Matzo Mor Monochim Lefonecho. Why? Because when we're busy hammering in the Emunah, we want to do it with Maisim of Kiyum Hashem. That's what's really going to bang it in. We have to have it when we're actually ready to be Mekayim all those mitzvahs. And we'll finish this off with one example. This is not actually, I imagine this is a Maisa Shaya. I don't know of any particular such Maisa Shaya. I would imagine that it's a Maisa that happened many times over. Something that we can all identify with. If you think about a Baal Tshuva, a person who's in the process of becoming frum, and is really ready to keep his first Shabbos. Really ready to keep his first Shabbos. He's read up on it. He's heard Shiurim on it. And from Sunday, this is going to be the first Shabbos that he's going ad asof, 100%. From Sunday, he's preparing himself. And he's inspired, and he's on a high, and goes to the mikveh, and he's sitting there. It's 3 hours before Shabbos, 2 hours before Shabbos, and he's sitting, and he's just ready. He's in that state of ecstasy to make the kabbal pnei Shabbos HaMalka. Now let's fast forward 20 years. Before we get back, we'll get back to him. But let's fast forward 20 years. This person, since he married, Baruch Hashem, he raised the family, he's been involved, he's been frum for 20 years at this point. It's again Friday afternoon. He completely, by now, there's so much going on, and there's so much still that has to be done in the 2 hours before Shabbos, and the kids are all over the place, and the house is a mess, and he completely forgot all the shiurim he heard back then. He's just in the grind of getting into Shabbos. There's no inspiration at all here right now. And now let's say, the moment Shabbos enters, you have the first guy, his mom is floating on a high. Same guy. 20 years earlier, he's floating into Shabbos on a high, feeling all elevated. The other one is coming into Shabbos, mamish like a rick, like a shmata. And all of a sudden, an opportunity arises. Shtikel chilul Shabbos, you earn $40,000. In which case is the person more likely to fall? Kimedume, that we would all see it as obvious that the first guy with all the elevation will say, okay, so I'll start next week. Even though he realizes that every Shabbos is the world in itself. Whereas the second person is no. The same person. 20 years later, there's no having that he's going to be mechallel Shabbos. He's been giving Shabbos for 20 years. Why? Because his heart has been pounded into place by 20 years of Shmiras Shabbos. So we're coming from these both of these two angles, from the inside out through the constant the continuity of what Batsim will call his boininus in inyanim, which for our practical purposes we'll call limud amusa. But we're putting the stress on the constants more than on the limud amusa, the day after day. That's the inside out. And the outside in is the chashivus of the maisim. The chashivus of the maisim of pounding the amunah not into my mind, and again, theoretically into my heart, but it's not really accessible to me, the heart that we're talking about. Pounding it into our Basar V'Dam, through the maisim. Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zeicha to really reach that level of shivisi alem Hashem lenegdi tamid, and to be oyle be'malois hachasidim v'atzadikim v'asheruchim v'shnei Hashem.